Tones from the Rebel Walk. And so I contact Evie the other day, and she's on the beach in Florida with an umbrella drink. I was shocked I even got a reply. Good morning, Evie.
Good morning, Bill. You know, I would always reply to you, no matter what, no matter where.
Yeah, she was there on the Emerald Coast having a few enjoyable days. Anyway, she's back, and Baby Kiff kind of got a little giggle out of Jimbo and Nikki yesterday, didn't he?
He sure did. I saw somebody tweet, who would have thought that Lane would have been the adult in the room between with Saban and Jimbo. So, yeah, he got quite a kick out of that, and definitely seemed to weigh in a little more on Saban's side, it appeared to me.
No, I think whatever happened, well, we know what happened when Lane got replaced during the playoffs that time, that I think they're all patched up. I think they're good with each other, but Nikki and Jimbo are at least formally really good buddies. Apparently they're not doing so well. Now you're over there. You're not far at all from College Station where you live. What's the feeling over there right now? And why is everybody so defensive?
You know, that's a good point. I heard you mention that in the segment with my good friend Kevin, who always hits it out of the park. There really does seem to be a bit of defensiveness there. And I guess, you know, maybe one could say if you feel like you're wronged, you know, then you're gonna be a little defensive there. But Jimbo did seem quite frustrated yesterday. I was surprised at just maybe some of the tone. I mean, I know, you know, Saban to me seemed to be more of a discussion about, you know, the program, the quote-unquote program at A&M, whereas Jimbo, you know, called him despicable and, you know, such like that. So I was really, really a little surprised with the vitriol that came out of the Fisher camp. However, I will say, you're right, being over here close to College Station, I mean, Aggies are very, very angry. They're very, they feel like, you know, A&M is an excellent place to be. They've got top-notch facilities. They've got, you know, this huge supportive alumni base. So why wouldn't kids want to come there? So, Kevin brought this up, back in February, if you'll recall. I think it was February 1st. Kiffin said something about, you know, he didn't know if A&M was going to be paying a luxury tax or not. And then Jimbo got upset and called Lane a clown. So this has kind of been going on, you know, for a little bit.
He used the word narcissist to describe Nikki. He used the word despicable 6 times. He used the term God twice. Somebody counted this, by the way. I didn't count it. So, and he said somebody will slap Nick. He also said that.
Right. I was really, I was just a little surprised that he responded in such a way, and I guess, you know, maybe, again, one could say, you know, the Aggies camp will say, well, it's because, you know, he was attacked, and that's not why players are coming here. They're coming here because it's an excellent school and an excellent opportunity, that is certainly true, but I personally was just a little surprised by how pointed some of those attacks were.
Oh, Miss Evie from the Rebel Walk is with us. Now, this isn't today's new news, but Jalen Robinson, the receiver, transfer from UCF, selects Ole Miss, and that's another difference maker transfer for them.
Oh, I think so too. And you know what I was really struck by? When he committed, he penned a little blog about it, and one of the things he said was he was so impacted by a couple of things. One, the coaching staff, he said, just seems to be so much fun. And, you know, they are kind of a young staff, Charlie Weiss Jr. I mean, Lane, you know, who wouldn't want to hang out with Lane, I think. But, and then also he felt like they really presented a plan for how he would fit into the Ole Miss offense and what he could bring to the table. And so I think that that really impacted him. And a lot of people, I think, were surprised that he didn't go with Tennessee and Coach Heupel, who he had been with at UCF. But huge, huge, huge get for Ole Miss. I think they're going to use him in a lot of unique ways, maybe similar to how they did with Elijah Moore. And we see how that turned out for Elijah. So you're right, really huge get, and Kiffin continues, I think, to just do so well. I think they've signed maybe 16 players in the portal so far, besides Jackson Dart, you know, running back Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley, Michael Trigg, Jordan Watkins and Malik Heath, receivers. So it's just, I can hardly wait to watch this offense this coming season.
Baby Kiff has discovered a way to sustain Ole Miss, because Ole Miss, as we know, historically, certainly from the Johnny Vaught era to now, has trouble sustaining success. You can have a spike up or so. Even Cutcliffe did, Eli's last year, and then it fell to pieces. But the transfer portal may be the magic elixir where he can replenish his needs every year and keep Ole Miss at a high level.
Right, and I think, you know, Ole Miss, historically, I mean, they don't, you know, they don't have the same, you know, deep pockets as an Alabama or an A&M or such, and so I think that just in terms of everything, you know, they are having a huge facilities upgrade right now, so that's a wonderful thing, but, you know, Kiffin has found a way, I think, through the transfer portal to address key areas of need. And it's like he says, you know, these are players we're bringing in. These are not high school recruits that may or may not pan out. And we're not targeting transfers who are, you know, sat on the bench and aren't happy with where they were. I mean, they're targeting players, you know, like Jalen Robinson and Zach Evans and some of these kids that have a proven history. And, you know, they saw what they did and like what they saw and are, you know, going to be assets to the program. You know, they had film they could actually watch of them. And I think Kiffin and staff are excellent evaluators of talent. And, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, Miss Evie with us. Baseball team has been hot. Now, did they play last night, Evie? I didn't even know.
Yes, they did. And ironically, they lost to A&M. They spotted A&M 7 runs. So, you know, behind 7-0 in the second inning, you know, wow. It was kind of a tough thing. But they ended up losing, I think, 10-5. Pitcher got ejected. Bianco got ejected. We're waiting word from the league office to see if Bianco is going to be suspended from today's game. We're not quite sure. There was some confusion about that, but yeah, it kind of got a little chippy last night.
So he pulled a Tony Vols. Was there any chest bumping or what happened?
No, there wasn't anything like that. I think he really and truly, I had a couple of my riders there, and what happened, A&M hit back-to-back home runs, and one of the players rounding the bases, passing, you know, the Peyton Chatagnier, the Ole Miss second baseman, mouthed off to Chatagnier, and Chatagnier replied to him. And then apparently when Bianco came out, it was more because the A&M first base coach was jawing a little bit at Tim Elko, our all-world everything, wonderful human being, first baseman, and I think that kind of bothered Bianco a bit. So, anyway, yeah, it was game one was certainly something to behold. I hope game two goes a little better for Ole Miss.
Well, I'm sure that the Ole Miss fan base had no problem with Tony Vols putting up 27 in Starkville last night.
No, in fact, I think one of the tweets I saw indicated that Mississippi State gave up more runs in baseball than Ole Miss gave up points against Tennessee in football. I think Tennessee scored 26 in football this season against Ole Miss. So, you know, they got a little bit of a laugh out of that.
Wow. Ole Miss Evie with us. Now, what? Let me ask you. Obviously, the Emerald Coast is a gorgeous beach, and we have radio stations down there. But why don't you go to Galveston? I've been to Galveston. It's really pretty.
Bill, okay, I have a thing about dolls, like creepy dolls, like porcelain dolls, plastic dolls, you know, with the eyes that pop open. And they have had the weirdest thing going on in Galveston where creepy plastic dolls have been washing up on the shore.
Oh, no.
Like all over, yeah. So I'm steering clear of Galveston for right now.
So it's the movie where you got the young girl who's a devil or something, and she's got the creepy voice, and you got a that's a problem, right?
Yes, that's a problem. That's a problem, and I don't want to sit there with my umbrella drink and look over and see a little creepy doll staring up at me. So that was kind of strange. Yep.
I have not heard a story from one of the newspapers down there is called the Destin Log. I've never seen a story where one of those dolls came up on the beach there at the Emerald Coast.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of it happening anywhere except Galveston, and so that's a little weird. And plus, they've got a lot of, I hate to segue into snakes, but they've got a lot of rattlesnakes in the sand dunes in Galveston, so kind of up in the reeds and things. And so I'd like to avoid creepy dolls and snakes.
Speaking of Texas, you know all this talk about Eagle Pass? My parents lived there. They were stationed there. And my mom said that getting out of the car in the morning, you literally had to look down before you moved your feet to the concrete, let's say, because of rattlesnakes.
Eagle Pass, Texas.
Which is where a lot of the news is these days. So
Yes. No, I think I'll steer clear there also.
I never thought Eagle Pass would even be brought up. I didn't even know that was a thing, hearing about it as a kid, but it is a thing. But apparently the rattlesnakes are really, really bad there. Ole Miss Evie with us. So the baseball team right now, what are the does Ole Miss have a chance to host once we get past the SEC tournament?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it would be remote. I think, you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago, we were worried whether Ole Miss would make the SEC tournament even. And so now, you know, they've crossed that hurdle. And I think I saw them projected by D1 Baseball to be number 3, I believe, in the Louisville region for the NCAA tournament. So as of right now, I don't see that happening. However, baseball's a crazy game. You know, you come back and beat A&M twice and make a run in the SEC tournament, and, it, you know, who knows? Anything could happen. But I wouldn't count Ole Miss out. I mean, I think that they got a lot of veterans on that team, and it's going to be – I mean, I think yesterday's game against A&M may kind of spark them a little bit the rest of the weekend. But I don't anticipate them hosting, but, again, I never say never.
Just out of the blue, I thought of something. Supposedly, Nick tried to call Jimbo yesterday, and Jimbo says, "I'm not taking the call." How many people have ever refused a Nick Saban call in the world?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Jimbo's pretty mad if that's the case. I mean, you know, he said he's done. So I guess I would take him at his word. And, you know, I saw that Deion refused his call also. Deion Sanders.
I did not see that. Wow.
Yes, I saw that. So, you know, my goodness, what is happening?
I mean, we're to the point Nick can't get a return call. What's going on around here?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, people are just stepping out of line here. I'm sure he can't believe it. I don't know. And it's going to make, like we've talked about, it's going to make those SEC meetings in Destin pretty interesting. Maybe I need to make a trip back out to Florida because that could get quite interesting. And I'm sure Lane will be there enjoying it. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Here's the icing on the cake. Story comes out today, Arch Manning not taking his calls. That would be the...
Now you've gone and done it. That would be something else, wouldn't it?
Nick might need to retire. If that happens, just quit. You can't. Getting rejected at all angles now.
Right,
Ole Miss
right.
Evie, the Rebel Walk. Tell everybody how they can get your content.
Well, they can come to therebelwalk.com and find our content there, and they can follow us on Twitter at The Rebel Walk or follow me at Ole Miss Evie on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Got like 20 seconds. Rusty Manziel with us yesterday says he thinks it's down to Georgia, Texas for Arch. Would you concur?
I think so. I wouldn't argue with him on that. I think that at this point, I think that's probably a fairly accurate assessment of the situation. As you know probably better than I do, these things can change on a dime. But
sure.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Evie, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ole Miss ED, the angelic tones.